This is exactly right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and it's time for spooky season. You know, your annual pap smear.
I'm Brandy Posey, and the croutons on this salad are divine. Did I say croutons? I meant whole pieces of cold cheese pizza. There is no salad.
I'm Tess Barker, and did anyone else get high and accidentally register for the Joshua Tree half marathon last night?
That's and this you. Is lady to lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Woohoo!
We will be doing, speaking of spooky season, we don't have it scheduled yet, but we're going to do a live stream for our patrons where we're getting ready for our Halloween costumes. So,
yes,
look out for that. Sign up at patreon.com/ladytolady if you're not already signed up, because it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I'm preparing.
I'm excited for your costume. Your costume's going to be good.
And I think I'm going to have a Halloween party too. So we'll have somewhere to wear them.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Maybe I'll start saving money now and I'll actually make good on my threat to do a real costume.
Do it.
Okay.
This will be the year.
Okay.
real quick. I just got booked on this festival yesterday, but if you are in Big Sky, Montana, the weekend of September 20th through the 24th, I'm doing a comedy competition up there.
Is it called Big Sky? The place is called Big Sky?
Yeah. It's called Big Sky, Montana, and Big Sky Comedy Festival. I'm like one of like 24 comics competing. So if you're there, come vote for me. I'd love it. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Also, tell me where to hike around there. I'm like getting a rental car because I want to hang out and check it out. So, yeah, if you're in Montana, come hang.
Fine.
Come on out, Montana listeners. Mm-hmm.
Do it, Montana. Come on.
And I'm not anywhere, but my boyfriend is back home for a week, so I'm going to be real feral.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Is this the longest he's been gone?
I think it is. So it's time.
What are you going to do? How excited are you?
I mean, I think I'm going to just sit in my own dirt. I don't know, but I just saw it on the calendar and I was like, wow.
Wow.
It's huge. Also the Jewish high holidays at my work. So it's a combination of me working a lot and
piling at night.
Piling. Lots of reality TV and piling.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, the cats are gonna love it too. They love it when it's a mess here. Let me just
bet. Piles, cats love piles.
They do. They thrive.
Yeah.
They're pile thrivers, if you
pile thrivers.
They're in the pile high club.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Okay. Enough funny, but just kidding. It's going to be all funny business because that's what you signed up for on this comedy podcast.
you today. Signed up for when we, you know how we get listeners, if we do stand outside of the grocery store and ask you if that's how we should start. Will you sign to listen to this? Sign your soul away to listen to this podcast.
Oh my God, that's actually a really good
idea. We have a great episode today. I know, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the lady-to-lady credit card. Great points.
Then you won't be avoiding the people outside.
Yeah, exactly.
We are so excited to have this guest back on the show. It's been a while. We reminisced, actually, about their previous appearance on the show. They have a new comedy album out called Chiweenie in a Tank Top, which you can already go buy online. And you can go see them live lots of places. They're super funny. Please welcome Deanne Smith to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
We're so excited to hang out with our guest today, Deanne Smith. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deanne.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Do you know what? Okay. The first time I did your podcast, it was 2019.
Right before the timeline split.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm just reflecting on how much has changed in 4 years. Not to harp. We've all been in the 4 years.
I thought you were going
to
say, I don't know why, because I've been doing this podcast, but I thought you were going to say the last time I did it was 20 years ago. In my head, that's what was coming next.
I'm bringing that energy today. I mean, I'm like deeply, deeply middle-aged in my bucket hat, walking my dog.
I mean, the thing is, like, we've been doing this podcast 11 years now, so someone will say that someday, I believe. I did your podcast 20 years ago.
God willing.
That's
awesome.
A lifetime in podcasting. Yeah,
truly. We were podcasting on 8 tracks, if you can believe that.
Well, Deanne, quick catch up. How was your plague? How's the last 4 years been? Just a real, you know, highlights, lowlights.
I mean, I can whip you through some highlights. It's been an absolutely wild ride. Really, in a funny way of telling you highlights, I'll tell you this. I moved to LA. Someone I was seeing from New York came to, quote, quarantine with me for 2 weeks. That turned into months. We both kind of freaked out and got deeply codependent. Then I wanted to go to Canada. The only way she could join me is if we got married. We got married in Vegas. We went to Canada.
Whoa.
You guys, your faces.
Yes.
The vaxes weren't rolling out fast enough in Canada. So we got one shot. Then we went to Portland. Then we got our second shot. Then we moved back to New York. And then things were deeply falling apart in our relationship because, of course, they were.
Yes.
And then a year later, we broke up, and now we're getting divorced.
Wow. You know how to do 4 years.
Yeah. Honestly, thank you for bringing the drama we've needed. None of us had that exciting of the last 4 years, I will say.
No.
So.
I mean, I just would not stop moving. Other people were like, I'm watching my bank account grow. I'm staying home. I'm getting into hobbies. I'm like, I'm like war times. We got to flee. It's the apocalypse. This Trump election. I don't fucking know. Like, we were just moving.
So now you know, like, your fight or flight is very flight heavy.
Very flight heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Seatbacks and tray tables.
With a fair amount of fawning, I would say. My sudden like desire to be like, I'm in charge of this family, like Rudy and my ex, like, a fair amount of like, whatever you guys need, I can do this.
Right. That's great. We need those kind of people in the end times, I'm going to assume. Organizers.
Yeah, do you know what? I did a pretty good job as an unemployed comedian taking care of a whole entire family.
Yeah.
We did all right.
It beats
impressive.
Zoom shows. So,
you know. Yeah. I mean, on fight or flight, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. Where do you guys think you land?
Oh, wait, I didn't know about freeze, fawn. Can we break that down a little bit?
Yeah, I didn't know about freeze, fawn either.
So freeze is what you think it is. It's just kind of being overwhelmed, paralyzed. You're actually going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. You're just going to stay stuck. And fawn is, how do you explain it? It's relatively a new concept, but it's the idea that you really try to appease whoever the problem is or whatever the problem is. I was going to make a very dark example, but why don't I? Because it's the one coming to mind. Yeah. But like, for example, this is really horrible. Sometimes, you know, when people are in the midst of a sexual assault, they might behave in ways that don't make sense to other people later.
Right.
Like
trying
to appease the attacker or something.
Like women that marry serial killers in jail is like kind of like a...
Well, no, did you read that New York Times article this morning? Is that why you're thinking of it, Deanne?
I don't know.
The New York Times did a great piece about that this morning, actually. But
I don't read the New York Times because they have decent stuff, but I can't pay for them because they're so fucking transphobic.
Yeah, they're trans. They've had some pretty shitty takes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, everything. Anyway, yeah. I took this so dark so fast. You guys know how did it go? I'm like, we got divorced. Sexual assault is real. People are transphobic.
No, it's great. We're seven.
So you're talking about reality?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're just getting real.
I kind of explained Fawn, but not too well.
So it's like when you're in like a really stressful situation and you kind of like, regardless of whether the person is causing the stress, you may try to help the person that's causing the stress. Is that what it is?
Yeah, here we go. This is from the internet. The Fawn response is when an individual tries to avoid or minimize distress or danger by pleasing and appeasing the threat.
So you like kind of like suck up to make it end by being in their favor, kind of, right?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah,
I guess that would be more like interpersonal conflicts. I don't know how Fawn a pandemic.
I mean, it's interesting because I'm thinking, yeah, exactly, like a natural disaster or something. Because I was thinking about this in relation to like people trying to prepare for this hurricane that luckily we did not get too much of in LA. But you can't really fawn a hurricane.
But I guess I think if you're someone who does buy a lot of shit and like make sure you have all your stuff and like, I think those people, I would say that seems like that behavior where you're just
Is that not fight though? I guess
to me, fight would be you're the asshole that's like sitting on the roof. Like I'm not leaving, you know.
With your gun. Yeah. Shooting the clouds.
Yeah. That's right.
Which does happen for sure. I'm somewhere between flight and fight, I think, because it's like, I mean, during lockdown, at least I was only happy if I was like going on day trips and stuff. Like I like to just drive places, but then would come back here and then just be mad.
Man, I love driving. It's just such a great feeling to be on the road. Yes.
Yeah.
I just got into this festival in Montana that I very genuinely was like, I mean, I could drive there. Flights are expensive.
Yes.
I could just drive. I could just drive a 13 hours to go do that instead. Then I was like, don't. What I'm going to do is I'm flying into Salt Lake and then I'm renting a car and then I'm driving 5 hours.
Do y'all not get fidgety? You don't get fidgety on those?
No. Love it. Would so much rather drive.
I do, but yeah, there's something about it kind of feeling like a job. Like when you are driving to a job, it's like I'm doing something productive. Mm-hmm. And yet you're just sitting there watching the scenery roll by.
Yeah.
Listening to music or podcasts or whatever.
It does feel like every time you see the miles pass, like you're making progress. I do get that.
I just don't like the time like that it takes away. If I'm looking at costs, I'm like, I'm going to spend a lot more on food and stuff than I am. You know what I mean? In 13 hours than I am in 2 hours or whatever on a flight. So that's kind of where it breaks down for me, where I'm like, the time it's going to take me is not like worth it usually.
Yeah, I just got a body that's like made out of electricity. Like even like planes are really tough for me. Like I got to have the aisle because I can't sit. Like I don't even sleep holding still. Like I don't. Yeah.
I can see that about you. Do you have trouble like sitting still for the length of a movie or something?
Yes. Yeah, like
I know people. Like
I was thinking about the 3-hour movie problem that we have as a society. And I was like, I feel like if we could just go back to putting intermissions in, I would be fine. It's the continuous 3-hour. Like I got to pee. I got to stretch. Like I don't. It makes me feel claustrophobic to know that I'm going to have to sit in one place for a long period of time. Does that not bother
you? Are you a dancer?
I am.
Yeah, every dancer I know is just like this. You need to put your legs up the wall every 15 minutes.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
precisely.
Yeah, I think you're probably just like more in tune with your body than the rest of us schlubs that are like, yeah, this hurts, but whatever.
I do think doing a lot of yoga and stuff like that can be maybe not counterproductive isn't the right word, but it can make you like hyper fixate on like everything that's a little bit out of alignment.
Yeah.
I'm so disconnected with my body that I can just disassociate and leave it. It's just a potato sitting there for a while.
That's great.
Yeah, that's me too. It's like I'll notice there's a problem when like my hand has literally gone numb and I can no longer use it.
Right.
I'm like, oh, maybe I should move this position.
Do you work, Deanne, at a desk or are you? What's your work situation?
I mean, do I work is the number
That's
one
good
question. I gotta tell you, it has been difficult to plug back in to work and or caring about anything other than walking my dog in the park since the pandemic. But when I do work and sit down, it's at my kitchen table. I can make lovely desk situations, but I end up where the snacks are, where the light is, you know.
Did you, out of curiosity, I mentioned the Barbie movie again on another episode, but did you see the Barbie movie?
Yes.
The Rhea Perlman scene where she says, "I always did my best thinking at a kitchen table." I was like, me? Like, that's so true. I think a lot of people do. I never thought of it like that, but yeah.
Whenever I see like a home makeover where they make one of those like little desks in like a closet, I'm like, no one's using this. No one's going to sit there.
Absolutely not.
They're going to sit on the couch. They're going to sit at the kitchen table. They're not fucking sitting in this nook that you made.
No. Yeah. That's
not but in terms for. Of like it's what we do, coat. Like, oh, sorry. Like writing and thinking, it's like, it's kitchen table work, but it's also really just, for me, it's like walking around helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, loosens up all that.
Yeah, I got a little of the thoughts, like, actually, I feel like there's so much in my head all the time that, like, walking's one of the only things that helps it somehow go into, like, an actual stream and not just a jumble.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of why I like driving a lot, because it is this, like, it's like a task that, like, a lot of your brain is just doing that, like, you know how to do kind of automatically at a certain point. So you're removing a lot of that, like, and what am I doing next thing? So it feels kind of meditative in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm with you. Do any of you guys have a bike? Excuse me. I just got a bike again for the first time in years. And it's such a joy.
You're in New York, right?
Yeah. And I thought I'd only bike around my neighborhood, but now I'm venturing out. I'm risking my life out there.
I think once you get comfortable, you're kind of like, you just kind of go for it. I miss it. I used to ride, like, I live in Silver Lake, and I used to work in Mid-City, and I would ride there. And, like, I really miss it because it was really fun going through all the different, like areas of L.A., you know, every day, just kind of seeing everything. And but it is scary. My bike got stolen from work, and, like, I have one now, but I just am terrified of getting hit by a fucking car. Like, it's just so scary.
Yeah. It's very reasonable fear. I feel like once I'm on the bike, it makes walking seem so fucking boring.
Right.
Yeah,
there's not a faster way to do this.
There is, there's a really something special about riding a bike, especially around a city. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's really fun. Yeah,
it's not as practical as a bike, but I was one of the thousands of people or millions of people that got into roller skating during the pandemic. And that is,
I didn't
a
know
fun
that
way.
Became a thing.
Oh, yeah, because at least in LA, this was ludicrous, but they put, you know, those things they used to like get people not to steal cars, the club.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh my gosh, yes.
They were putting those on basketball hoops. So people it was like Footloose, so kids couldn't play basketball. But
wait, what?
Yeah.
I did not believe it.
Yes.
They didn't want people to dead be congregating ass. And touching each other and stuff.
Oh my God, then that sucked for the basketball community, which my husband is in, but then the roller skating community came in and we used all the basketball courts for roller skating.
I had no idea. And so, like, roller skating, four wheels, not inline. We're not talking rollerblading.
No, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I've always found roller skating like way more intuitive because I feel like your center of balance kind of makes more sense. Whereas rollerblades, I feel like I'm always kind of teetering.
Yeah, I've never been on rollerblades.
Really?
When I was a kid, yeah. Yeah, because like I was the only girl in like a 6 mile radius growing up. So like all my guy friends had like blade roller. They were always just doing extreme sports stuff, which meant you had to have rollerblades.
Yeah.
So I was the one with the blades out there. I had brakes on them, though. I never got to the point that I took the brakes off. That's the way a lot of people do it.
I feel like, though, with roller, or are you, Tess, are you using roller skates to like run errands or anything? Because I feel like on a bike, you can like go play. Yeah, I feel like that's the disadvantage.
I mean, that would be great.
Can you imagine how whimsical I would be if I was going to Target on my roller skates?
Yes.
Please do that.
Just a backpack. You could do it, depending on what you're picking up.
I know, right? I'll report back. I'll let you guys know. I don't know if you guys roller skated as a kid, like in rinks and stuff, but it was like as an adult, I had to learn how to stop. Because like in a rink, you would just like slam into the wall. Yeah, you're like, it's fine. Yeah. But then when you get out in the real world, you're like, there's no wall. Like,
no
shit.
Bumpers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
that's
walls,
so right,
brick.
Yeah. Yeah. You just hit the wall and then you kind of walk into like where the concessions are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get your popcorn. Slurpee.
Yeah, yeah.
You're drawing up a somewhat traumatic memory.
Oh, no.
What happened? In quotes, joking. Well, I'm wondering now if roller skating at Skate Estate turned me gay because I was holding hands with my little seventh grade boyfriend.
Wait, where was this?
I can't remember his last name. This is in upstate New York. This would have been around Binghamton, New York. I can't remember Steve's name, but he had a cute little haircut, cute little face. We were holding hands, skating around Skate Estate. And then, my mom came to pick me up early. So she saw me holding hands with Steve.
Oh, no.
And then we went to dinner, and then she told my whole family, and I was deeply embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, it was beyond. And it wasn't, like, a bad thing, but it's like, I'm remembering now that it felt horrible to me. And then I was like, Steve, we're breaking up.
You're like, I will never hold hands with a man again.
Was that the last boy you held hands with?
No. And now that I'm thinking about Steve and his delicate bone structure and his gorgeous little haircut, I'm like, nah, I was gay the whole time. You know how certain seventh grade boys have a very kind of lesbian look?
1,000%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same, a lot of the similar haircuts, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, when you're that age, like, everything's so deeply shameful. I don't know why. Yeah. Everything. It's just, I remember even like the first time I wore a bra, I was like so embarrassed for anyone to like see that I had a bra on under my shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Truly There's think no that everyone is thinking anymore. About you all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's either like not wearing a bra is embarrassing, wearing a bra is embarrassing, not shaving your legs is the worst, shaving your legs is the worst.
Yeah.
It's almost like we live in a patriarchy that hates women's bodies.
That we're never going to feel comfortable or be accepted.
Hey, you said you've already talked about the Barbie movie, but
please.
I would like to check in because I haven't talked about it with anyone other than the friend. No, I didn't even talk about it with the friend I saw it with because she got a distressing email from her ex right after we saw it and like collapsed on the sidewalk took an Uber home.
Okay.
So we haven't even talked about it.
So let's unpack it.
I did enjoy it a lot visually, and I think the hype got to me because I was kind of like, I hate to say it, there was a little bit of like a feeling, and I think it might be because I know that we live in a patriarchy. Like, it wasn't like mind-blowing to me the way it was to some people.
Yeah, I think...
For sure.
I think that it was like different levels for different people, you know, as far as like those of us who were like already attuned to that stuff maybe felt... I think I heard some people be like, it felt somewhat basic, but I don't know. I think it had a lot of levels to it, and I think you can kind of take from it what you need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My take on it, I don't actually think it's about explaining what the patriarchy is. I think it's a movie about exactly kind of the age that we're talking about. Like, it's almost like it's a coming of age story about what it is to have your eyes opened up to those dichotomies and those sort of like... ideologies that exist in the world. And it's like, yeah, we've already lived through that, but it's like, it's about like losing that innocence and like, and stopping like realizing that the world is this sort of perfect place and realizing that you live in a world where you actually are never going to belong. And it was about, I think like one of the biggest things to me is it's ultimately like, it's not really that original of a story in some ways. Like, it's very similar to like The Matrix or like Catcher in the Rye. Or Buddhism. I think it's a very like Buddhist story. It's about accepting the kind of gritty parts of humanity along with the good parts. But I think so often, almost always, that narrative is portrayed with a male protagonist. And so I think like the corollary to that is like the human experience is male. And so this was sort of subversive in that like, oh, actually to be human is something that all people experience, not people that just sort of like subscribe to this idea of maleness or of the patriarchy.
Yes, I'm so glad I asked. I love this. And I'm going to bite what you said to sound smart when other people ask me about it. I'm going to go, it's ultimately Buddhist, I think. That was genuinely really beautiful. I'm glad I asked.
I want a shirt in the Barbie font that says ultimately Buddhist.
The thing I think is funny is like so many places are now just like co-opting like the Barbie font. Like there's a dress place in our neighborhood that is like has like 20% off and like Barbie written all over the outside.
Right.
Like everyone's it's like, definitely, okay, make it my I think thing. I'm also part of it.
Like people, like friends I've had who I've seen, you know, I had a friend who like liked it but was a little bit like, yeah, but at the end of the day it's still like selling a product, and it, you know what I mean? It's still Mattel, blah, blah, blah. And which I get. And it is like the, I mean, obviously the fucking like collabs they've done. I mean, you can't, I went to the mall and every single store had like a Barbie thing. So it's a lot, you know, it's in your face, but I loved it. But I also don't want to like, I do not want like the universe. I don't need a million movies. No. Like I don't ruin it.
There will be though. No, there will be though. You're right.
It's going to happen.
I didn't even think about that.
It was so successful. Yeah. It's going to, you know.
He very specifically has been like, I want to build Mattel as the new Marvel. Like, he's like in interviews said that. I do like though that Margot Robbie and
Ryan Gosling?
Jesus. Yeah, thank you. They're not signed on for anything else. Like, they're only signed on for this one. So, like, there's no room for a sequel. There shouldn't be one anyway. But if they were to push for it, the amount of money they're going to have to pay them to get
them. Oh, my God,
and
truly.
Those are also, like, two actors that are, like, don't care about that kind of... They're, like, that's not the kind of shit that they want to do, it seems like. So. Yeah. It's exciting to be like, well, hopefully at least that's...
Let me ask you, what else is in the Mattel universe? Hot Wheels?
Good question.
like G.I. Joe.
I mean, Skipper could have her own movie, probably.
Skipper could have her own movie.
I mean, I think Barbies like doing their own movies, I'm guessing.
Now that we're mentioning it, I'm like, I think Mattel's like the big one, right?
Yeah, no, Mattel has like...
Fisher Price.
Fisher Price. Did you guys have...
American Girl? I mean, hello.
That's Mattel?
Movie.
Yeah. Apples to apples. Damn. I swear to God, if they make an apples to apples movie, I'm
leaving the country.
Of course they're making
out. I'm out.
Everybody.
You guys know how I feel about games. One of my least favorite games is apples to apples. I hate apples to apples.
Absolutely same.
Thank you. It's
I played it once like maybe 15 years ago at a nerd house party in Montreal.
That's where you play.
Remind me what it is.
It's like prompts. It's like things you combine together to make funny. Oh no, wait, that's the other one. I can't remember apples.
Isn't it like Cards for Humanity, but like with unfunny things?
Yeah, it's Cards Against Humanity for cowards, and that's already the cowardly game. It's awful. I hate it. I hate it so fucking much.
Fuck you, Mattel. So I don't think so.
Yeah. It's always like also when you're having a nice time, and like the one person that can't hang is the one that has apples to apples, and you're like, just hang out, just be cool. That's all it is.
The one person that can't hang.
They always got apples to apples in their damn pocket. Get out of here. Just listen. Just listen.
Oh, brother. I'll say this, though. RE, the Mattel franchise, I completely agree with you guys that this is a terrible idea and inevitable. But I will say this. Multiple of the Lego movies have been good.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying they won't be good. I'm sure they honestly probably will be good. But I just like, you know what I mean? I hate that instant like.
Oh, I know.
It made a lot of money and like let's drain it of every like I just yeah
that, well, and
I
know. Then like also that you have to have a successful brand attached to you to like get something made now is like just generally depressing in general when you like I mean we all work in comedy, it's like you know, when's the last time like a comedy like was in theaters of any kind, you know, that wasn't attached to a brand or was just like, oh, this is a funny premise, you know? It's depressing that people are like, oh yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, those are great comedies, and I'm like, those are super, they're funny, but the superhero movies they aren't comedies, like
no,
I don't know. Anyway,
have you guys seen that sponge called Sponge Daddy?
Yeah, I have a Sponge Daddy, the happy face.
Oh, I have Sponge Daddy.
Yeah.
Is this new for you?
No, it just popped to mind. Like, it just popped to mind as, like, what would be a fun brand?
Oh, for to make a movie?
Oh, make a movie
That's what you want to see a movie of?
It's, like, literally just a smiley face. I was like,
they made, like, a pack. Didn't they make that Pixel one or Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Limited edition ones. And I actually went to Home Depot the other day and got a limited edition. He's an octopus Sponge Daddy.
Oh, I thought it was a really ghost cute. Sponge Daddy, but it's an octopus.
That's really cute.
Octopus, man.
I want that. Yeah,
that's adorable.
I'm fine with Sponge Daddy, but Sponge Mommy is too much for me. Have you seen that?
Like Sponge Mommy's a lot.
Yeah. What's the difference between the two? Is it like...
I think it's it's very like Pac-Man. It's like there's a bow in her hair.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I've seen Sponge Mommy, like the tag for it, but I've never actually seen one. I think they've always been sold out whenever I've been at the store.
I will say, like, congrats on, you know, you think you can't reinvent the wheel, and someone comes along and says, I am making a cool sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Sponge Mommy, it sounds like a name for, like, someone who's really good at taking advantage of people. Like, I'm a Sponge Mommy.
Oh my gosh.
opposite of Sugar Daddy.
That's so funny. Sponge Mommy. I think
we're... It's actually Scrub Mommy, I think. Like, it's Scrub.
Oh, it is Scrub. It sounded weird to me, but I, like, couldn't figure out why. No, Sponge Mommy. It's Sponge Mommy.
It's Sponge Mommy. It's Sponge Mommy. Yeah. Sponge Mommy. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go draft up the treatment for the Sponge Daddy Mommy movie, and we'll be right back after this break.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Deanne.
Deanne. Oh, I my did goodness.
I did it like I would do. You know when you have to leave your name on a voicemail and it's, you can never say it properly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love. You know what? I crush leaving voicemails. Can
you
I just
do?
Say great at it?
Yeah. Are you?
Yes.
Hey.
I'm bright. I'm cheerful. I leave the right information.
Leaving them, yeah. But you know when you have to put your own name in? Or this is a thing
of the past. Oh, yeah. Where they're like, please say your name after the tone. Yeah.
I love it.
I will say, as someone who used to do the, this is my, I don't know if I've talked about this. Someone used to call the like sex phone lines.
What?
Not the ones where you pay money to like talk to someone sexually, but there's like party phone lines where you can just talk to people who are also horny.
And you used to call.
Yes. And
okay.
I used to call.
Okay.
It was free for women. Men had to pay.
Cool.
For it. But if there was a thing where you would have to say your name after a blank, and I would think I would usually use a fake name, but it was funny because guys, they don't want to sign up. They don't want to spend the time doing this. So a lot of times it would just be like a faraway grunt. Or just like, they were like not sure of what the instructions were. So it'd be like a long pause and it'd be like, Dale. And like... So it'd be really funny because if you got a message from somebody, you'd be like, you have a message from,
I love these guys who are too horny to say their names.
It was just like they're so horny that they don't want to deal with the instructions. You know?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do right now? I'm pressing the button.
Oh my God. That's brought me back. All right.
Wow.
Oh, wait.
Unlocked memory. I love it.
It was always like as a horny person, it was an easy way to like kind of fool around with somebody with like zero consequences, you know what I mean? Because they don't know who you are, but you can like talk dirty, but then you're like, I never have to see this person, or
it seems liberating. You probably discovered things about yourself in those moments.
Yeah, I don't know, it was just a way
what
to, like,
can I ask Babs what year this was?
Yeah, what age is, like, I'm just curious. I've never heard of this
1978.
Before. It feels, party lines are from the 50s, so Barbara might be a really pilot.
They're still around, live links. It's a thing. It's, I think, like, I mean, I don't know, you know,
last
12 years ago?
Okay, 12
when
years
I lived
ago.
In LA.
Okay. Cool.
Why?
No, I mean,
why
would
you need to know when?
I'm curious because, like we said, I've only heard of party lines happening like post World War II. I was just
I was like, oh man,
see,
this is
you weren't like a horny internet person like I was, so I knew, like, I met people, you know what I mean? Like, I knew where like the horny outlets were that were not just,
I want to know more.
Making out
teach
with
us
someone.
More.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll say this about horny internet. I think chat roulette was one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
I forgot about that.
Wasn't chat roulette's still out there too.
Oh,
people,
is it?
I see people on TikTok live just go on chat roulette. Yeah. No, chat roulette was very funny. I never used that. I did not use that as a horny outlet because that seemed like too exposing, or like you have to like look at someone.
Yeah. I used to just like, there was a while where like every time I was like drinking with my friends, they'd be like, let's put on chat roulette.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then like
yeah.
every 10th thing would just be like a genital.
Just a dick.
Yeah.
A lot of full on. on.
So silly.
Waist level.
Okay, but seriously, time to get serious. Deanne, you have a new album coming out.
I do. You know what? It is out there. It is on 800 Pound Gorilla and probably anywhere else that you can get an album. It's called Chowini in a Tank Top, which is a riff on my gender identity. It's like, you can call me whatever you want. Failed woman, weird man, Chowini in a tank top. I'll take it. I don't care. It was recorded in, I feel kind of disconnected from it because it was recorded in December 2021.
Oh, wow.
And my inability to listen to my own self. Like, really, they sent it to me for some edits and I was like, eventually. And then 18 months later, I'm like, okay, fine. So it was recorded quite a while ago, but it's fun. There's a story about me meeting John Hamm in there.
Oh, nice.
I added in like what I called a bonus track, which was really me just kind of losing my mind on stage in a fun way. Cause I don't know about you guys, but I get very like, too anxious sometimes and too nervous when things are being recorded because it seems like the opposite of what comedy actually is.
Yeah.
Like, comedy is like living in the moment, being with the people. And it, like, there's, you know, if you mess up, there's no messing up because it's all just fun and whatever. So sometimes that pressure of like, got to get the joke down this way. And then this is how the joke is going to live forever.
Yeah.
But we broke that in a moment and had like a really fun time. And I'm like, I got to keep that on there. So yeah, I would say it's like as close to a live experience as I could make it.
Amazing.
That's awesome. I love that.
It was fun.
And
I miss bonus.
Is your dog a Chowini? Is my follow-up question.
I don't think so. She's some kind of a Chihuahua mix. I just glanced over at her. but it's more fun to say Chowini than Chihuahua.
Totally.
Chowini's great.
Because Chihuahua's a great word and Weenie's a great word. So that portmanteau is just...
Yeah. We, growing up, had a Cocker Spaniel Poodle mix, which is known as a Cockapoo.
Adorable.
Yeah. That's good.
Was always really fun and like being like 13 and being like, this is our dog, Cubby. He's a cockapoo. Like, what did you say? That was always great as a teenager.
I mean, it's second only to Shih Tzu.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Really great.
Yeah. God. I feel like, you know what? I'm actually glad to hear you say that you recorded your album and I did the same with mine. It took me four fucking ever to listen to it because, you're just listening to and you're judging it because you're like, again, this is going to be forever, even though whatever, no one cares more than you do, obviously.
Yeah.
But, so I'm actually, thank you. Thank you for taking so long because it makes me feel
did you, I'm glad. Did you find that once you sat down that you had an easier time with it? Was it more the like you were avoiding the task off in the horizon or did you sit down a couple times and try and it was too hard?
No, I was avoiding the task. It's always about like I am a deep procrastinator and it's always about like attempting to avoid the feeling that the task will bring up. Mm. So if the feeling is like self-judgment or any kind of anxiety, it's like, no thanks. And then of course the feeling gets worse. You just compound it every month.
Well, because then you got to guilt yourself about not doing the thing. And it's just a really nice snowball you make.
Babs, I wanted to thank you for saying the phrase, even though, whatever. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to maybe get it on a t-shirt. That's a good motto for me personally to live by.
I think I say that. I think I say that pretty much every episode.
Yeah. A good catchphrase.
Yeah, it is always the opposite of what you feel like comedy should be. You're like, I just want to be loose and enjoy myself. And we all want to be in this moment in time that's very specific to this evening. And not feel like this is something that's been repeated 10 million times. Yeah.
It's never the best version. And like the more that you can just be like, you had to see it live, baby.
I mean, especially for us, right? Because we do it to do it, to be in the moment and be right there, not to like endlessly listen back and tweet.
Oh, God, no.
Could you remove the at 0.13 seconds?
Oh, God. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, like, you so have to be, I mean, it is a lot like dancing in that way of, like, you kind of have to know it so well that you can forget it. And then, like, the second you get in your head, I think that disrupts that kind of flow state where you're, like, watching yourself as you're saying the words. And that's what always when I get in trouble.
And that nervous energy, I remember, like, for mine, it's like listening to the beginning was so hard because I was trying to bring energy, but I was just like, I am just screaming. Like, all I could hear,
I do that too.
All I could hear was me just playing, like, this is energy. And it's like, oh, God, this is a whole fucking nightmare. Yeah. But, you know, but it's also like nice to get past that and move past that. Like, and now you're obviously, like you said, you recorded a while ago, so you're definitely like past it now. But it always feels good to like put that chunk behind you.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it does feel good to get it out. And I got to say, I don't know what people are doing with albums, or that people are even still doing albums. The price is insultingly low to everyone involved. Myself, you as the consumer, anyone involved with making the album, 800-pound gorilla. It's $5. It's $5. And I feel like either make it free or make it $600.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
That is a very good point.
That's a really good point.
God, my dad's, I don't want to get too much into this, but my dad sent me like a link to some fucking libertarian comedian I've never heard of. And, you know, of course, it's this guy being like, I can't even put my special on YouTube because this will get banned. And I was just like, Dad, I don't like people like this. Like, he says that he has 6 million followers. He's not being censored. He's not someone who's censored. He can say whatever the fuck he wants. And obviously people care.
Yeah, it's part of his grift.
Yeah, and then I look him up, and yeah, he's selling tickets in Nebraska for $87. And I'm like, go fuck yourself, dude. You're pretending, like, you know. Yeah. And just, like, the meanwhile, we're selling our shit for $5 or $10, like an album. And it's just like, you're such a little grifter.
Yeah, well, I don't think that people who are who have ever legitimately in their careers been marginalized have this fetishizing of being banned. Like when you, you know what I mean? Like that is really the territory of white libertarian men.
It's like the business executive that gets a dom because they're just like, no one's ever told me no.
Yes, you guys are totally onto something. That's exactly it.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
Dad, somebody, you know what we need? I don't know, maybe it's Jim Gaffigan, but like we need like a comedian that like the dads can like without pissing us off.
Maybe it's Jim Gaffigan. I haven't watched his shit in a while.
I'm sorry if Jim Gaffigan said something offensive that I didn't see. That was the first person I thought of. But it was dad-like.
He seems like he's good for the most part.
I don't think he would say it. I think he might think it.
Yeah.
I don't know him. I actually don't know him.
I don't
know
him. Actually, I do think he has in the past been on the right side of things, if I could remember correctly.
I feel like that's what I mean. I feel like, he's clean. He talks about dad stuff, but it's not like, you know, everyone should have AK-47s or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we don't know. Jim, if you want to come on the show, talk to us.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this every week.
Defend yourself to us, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah. I was going to say something deeply problematic, but let's go for it.
Let's
because
do it.
It's maybe still fun to talk about.
Yeah.
I feel like people in genuine danger of getting, quote, canceled, if that's even real, are, like you say, people who exist more on the margins, because then we're talking to people who are on the margins who are politically, I don't know, aware and maybe sensitive to the point of absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
My first album was called Tell It to My Balls, which was a riff on like male confidence. I mean, it was ages ago, but the bit was essentially about, I wish I had a catchphrase, and I would play really small. I was like, oh, I just wish I was more confident, like my male counterparts. I wish I could have a catchphrase, but anyway, I'm trying one. Let me try it out on you guys. And then I would always ask a guy in the audience, what do you do for a living? And then before he could answer me, I would lean way back and point to my crotch and just yell, tell it to my balls.
So
it was silly and fun. And I loved like just being in that moment of being really small before they knew like where it was going.
Yeah. Right?
But essentially it's a joke about male confidence.
Yeah.
The album came out, just a few, not so many, but more than one trans women comics on the internet circa 2016 took offense to the title. Thought that I was making fun of trans women's bodies or the idea that anyone could be a woman and maybe have balls. And that was really fucking frustrating because I was I've been like trying to do comedy from this place, not even trying, just doing it from this place of punching up constantly.
Right.
Yeah.
And to like, to put something out there and then have people just interpret it completely wrongly and then be loud about it was really frustrating.
Well, and also not give you like the benefit of like, number one, you clearly didn't listen to it. So you were looking for a reason to be, maybe not looking for a reason to be upset, but like you found it without giving me the benefit of the doubt and letting all that good work that I have done, like speak for me to some degree to give me some grace, as opposed to being like, hey, this is how this made me feel, and having an adult conversation about it. you know, and then you could be like, oh, this is the point of the joke. And this is, you know, then you can have that versus then they,
yeah,
people can get clout off of that. And then it's just becomes, yeah, this, like,
I mean, the bad faith, yeah, interpretations, I think, is what,
yeah,
is what, like, really fucks up, you know, online discourse and, like,
yeah,
art by people who are trying to, like, say, you know, trying to make a point in the way that you're,
yes,
trying to make,
you're
a,
right,
point.
It's that, it's the bad faith interpretation. I kind, mm-hmm, of forgot about that. I think I'm in my own little bubble. And then I left a comment on someone else's Instagram recently, like a friend of mine that's a comic. I left, yeah, a funny comment when she was blowing up about something else and everybody else was leaving a different style of commentary. And I did, yeah, this, yeah, just to make her laugh because it was funny.
Yeah.
And then people that had no idea that we were friends or that we're both comics even, yeah, really, mm-hmm, like freaked out about my comment. And I was like, yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
it, I forgot what the, yeah, internet,
well, and I think like to fill in the blanks.
People, yeah, love to fill in the blanks. And I do think, too, that probably people who create art that is a little bit more geared towards people that have been marginalized in that way, like, we are going to care more about those comments because you're probably, mm-hmm, a little bit more of like a sensitive, empathetic person. So whereas there may be people who get 1,000 of those comments and are like, fuck that, I don't, and they let it roll off their back. I mean, how many people tell Joe Rogan to fuck off every day? He doesn't give a fuck. Whereas, yeah, we get one person on Twitter that's like, this was really problematic. And we're like, oh, my God, was that me? I'm so sorry. That was probably me. Yeah, I'm so, yeah, sorry. Was, you know, so I think that's part of it, yeah, too. Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely like the other end of the, right, like you said, Dan, the other like end of the can't, whatever, quote, going to, mm-hmm, be canceled spectrum, where, yeah, it's like people are, I mean, we see it all the time online. And it's like, also, it seems to sometimes come from a place of like, I will be the person who, or like everyone's trying to be, you know, the most, whatever, I don't even know how to explain this. Everyone's, no, trying, yeah, to get the most points for like, for being, yeah, like the best person. It's like, well, we're all human. We're all fallible, you know, and like, mm-hmm, you have to give people grace, especially the ones who have demonstrated that they are generally trying to like do the right thing or be a good person.
Yeah. Have any of you ever come close to anything feeling like, it was going to, like, you were going to get canceled or anything that felt like dangerous or scary in that way?
Well, these guys.
Yeah, me and Tess, when we went through the Free Britney stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
When you said, well, I was like, okay, I think I know where this is. But yeah, I don't, yeah, actually know what happened in that way with you guys.
We sort of like broke the story on what was, yeah, like our side project podcast. And it was a comedy podcast that we ended up like, you know, breaking real news on. So like overnight, we were sort of in the middle,
thrust into,
like, literally overnight, like we released it on,
yeah,
at midnight and by 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, it was like literally overnight,
yeah,
and it was, yeah, it was very stressful. I mean, and it went on for like 2 years, but it was like this very impassioned community on the internet that like in a lot of ways was doing really good stuff, but also was looking for wrongdoers sort of everywhere. Mm. And it was a situation where a lot of things were being hidden from the public. And so that did, right, create some sort of like conspiracy paranoia, type thinking, sense, and, yeah, paranoia. And because we were sort of like part of that story breaking, we got kind of wrapped into some of those conspiracy theories and Pizzagate kind of situations.
Oh my God.
We were doxxed. We were harassed. We were stalked. We were... Yeah, it was very traumatizing.
And that's so horrific, yeah, and absurd.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So it's not, we didn't have something necessarily, you know, someone call me out on like something, some joke or something like that. But definitely, again, people filling in the blanks, people having bad faith interpretations and like assuming they know things, I think was the biggest thing. They assuming,
yeah,
they know something about you. People, I mean, we just saw people telling straight up lies about us. And it's like, it fucks over your brain to see that.
I think it's one thing that really touches us deeply as people. Like, nobody likes, mm-hmm, to be misunderstood, misinterpreted. Yes. Yeah, I have the wrong story.
That's what
there.
I would say.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I would cry to my like therapist about. Was I would be like, it is so hard to be misunderstood on this level, because, mm-hmm, like I know myself and I think I'm a good person. And again, if you are somebody who's empathetic, you can feel gaslit because then you're like, wait, am I like shitty or something? You know what I mean? And you're, and so it's like,
do I have Britney chained in the basement?
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, basement. I didn't know I had a basement. See what's going on down there.
Yeah. It's a huge mind fuck. It's really interesting.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's so interesting too, because it's like, you know, I think online communities give us this like, and there are some that I think people can build community within, but I think like the parasocial relationship makes people feel like they have, like that it's a bad replacement for actual community in the world with like your neighbors. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the number of people that are just like, these are the only kind of people I will know. I will only know people that are exactly like this and only think exactly like this. And that's like not the way the real world should work. And then you're like, it's you lack empathy for anybody that isn't exactly like that. And it becomes this very puritanical way of being. And it's not, and you're also lonely because you're not meeting people and like being
right. It's like a replacement.
In life. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean,
you know what else I think it is like, I think a lot of people are much meaner when they're driving than they are when they go to Trader Joe's or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think there is like a version of road rage that exists on the internet because of how the internet is constructed. Like it's literally like making our neurons fire off by pissing us off or making us feel happy. And, you know, the piss off ones are better for traffic and better for shares and better for engagement. So I wonder if when we get into that space that is so engineered to piss us off, if all of us are in like a slightly more aggressive mindset.
For sure.
I think that's because I found myself doing it too. Like like wanting to comment on something or think, and it's my outlook has changed a lot after what we went through. And I really try to not judge people. And I certainly don't like write a fucking comment on anyone's shit, know? Mm-hmm. But I get the instinct, because also the instinct to call out someone for shitty behavior that you think you see, even though it's from one fucking sentence or something. It's still there, you know, especially these days when we want to like call people out for shitty behavior. But it's, you're missing so much usually, or it's just like, or enough people have already done it. Also, like, you don't need to add to it. They're getting plenty of shit most of the time.
And there's also this like, I mean, I've read a lot about how like the way that we communicate in person, like we are, because of we're human, we've spent hundreds of thousands of years evolutionarily being like, we're talking and we have body language, but also we are picking up on so many other things that are telling us how this person thinks and what is actually going on. And like our bodies are doing that. And when we communicate only online, so much of the information is taken from us. Like we just don't get it because we're not seeing the person's nostrils flare. We're not seeing like, we're not smelling that, we're not seeing all this stuff. So it's like, we're already, you've dehumanized this person that you're talking to just from like the way that we interact with like the way that a person is in general. So it's like, so you're already mad because you're like, I'm not getting all the information from this person I'm talking to but you're not even acknowledging that part of it.
Well, that's like with comedy too, because if you see a set just written out, I think you can see something as like, you know, if someone saw that joke just written out, they would want to be like, oh, well, it's this way. But it's like, it's all about your delivery and your intention and everything. And you can't see that in black and white, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This may seem unrelated, but it got stuck in my mind, Brandy, and I need to know. You talked about neighbors. Mm-hmm. I think about your skeleton probably every other month. So is the skeleton still there? What's going on? How are the neighbors?
Skelly is still up. We had a hurricane. I took Skelly's arms off. I'm putting them back on today just to be safe. Those are the
That's
things
so
that can
safe.
Fall off the most.
Yeah.
What if you had it? And then, like, I'm Brandy's neighbor, and I just get, like, an arm flying into my front yard. I'm like, Brandy, God damn it.
Well, it's funny because my Skelly is next to, like, there's a business that is, like, next to my house that also has a skeleton. And they
really
don't do anything to it. It's not even, like secured on the ground. And like,
you gotta call CPS on these guys.
I mean, truly, Rick was making fun of me. He was like, that's not your skeleton. Why, you're not the keeper of all the skeletons in the neighborhood. And I was like, I am just worried about him. I feel worried about him.
That's so sweet.
You gotta take care of the neighbor's skelly too. But yeah, it's really cute. Like, there's a lot of like, there's like a toddler that like goes for a walk in our neighborhood and goes, hi, skeleton, whenever he sees it every day. And like, I mean, I'll sit on my porch. I have a lot of neighbors that walk by and they're just like, we just love your house. It just makes me happy. What's he going to wear next? You know, like,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's so fun.
I love it. It's he'll be up until he's not able to be. I love him so much.
When you mentioned Neighbors, I was like, you do seem like someone who has a real like dynamic, real relationship with your neighbors, which is fun. Yeah,
I think it's important. It's like the people that you see. I mean, even if it's like, I mean, I'm not like super close with everybody, but it's like we say hi. I like know who they are, and it's like, you know, my neighbor Chris, his dad died in Wisconsin. He lives with his mom, and he was like, hey, can you like help my mom out for the next couple weeks while I go deal with that? And I was like, yeah, of course. So I like would bring in packages for her and like open a couple boxes. And it was just also just like, that's one of the only old people I know in Los Angeles. It's like, I don't have.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's nice. I think so many of the problems, like what we're going through now would be, turned down if we just like talk to our neighbors more, like, you know, just in general, even not your immediate, maybe even not your immediate, but people in your community, like out and about.
Yeah. I had a neighbor. Oh my God. I saw like an envelope in my front yard and I was like, what is this? And then I looked at it and it was like an invitation to come watch the fireworks on July 4th from a neighbor who had seen, I'd seen her at a show or something. And I wasn't able to go. So I need to like leave her a note and be like, please invite me again. But it was so sweet. But then on the other hand, like I literally don't know my other neighbors' names and I've been here for a million years. So like I saw a kid across the street. I've been here for 15 years and I saw the kid is a teenager now. And I was like, oh my fucking God, this was a child when they moved in.
That's wild. Like, yeah.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Lady Problems. Everybody, we're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Deanne.
And it's time for Lady Problems. If you've got one, write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady Problems. Lady Problems. Lady Problems, do you have them? Lady Problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hi, I'm a big listener. I love the pod. I'm listening to it right now, and I know you're looking for more Lady Problems. This isn't like the thing that is keeping me up at night or a huge issue in my life, but I have noticed, especially recently, I'm in my early 30s, and I've probably always been like this, but I'm noticing it more now. I am really confrontational. I'm a very confrontational person. Even things I don't really care about or aren't a big deal, if I disagree with it or think that it's just like, you know, wrong or not correct, I pick a fight at work, with my husband, with friends, boyfriends, family members, and I will just, like, die on a hill that I don't care about all the time. And I know when I'm doing it, and I sometimes I can't really stop myself. I don't know if it's just, like, wanting to fight or... Sometimes I'll do it especially at work, in work situations where a superior maybe has made the wrong call and it resulted in like inefficiencies or like extra work for me and my team. I'll like want to rub their noses in it, even though I know we can't go backward and probably not a good idea to pick a fight with your boss. I just can't help myself. I know this about myself, and I'll usually, like, talk about it with my husband, and obviously he knows this about me because we've been together for a long time, and he fights with me always. But I just don't really know how to stop, and I was wondering if you guys have any advice. Also, I live in L.A., and you guys are always plugging your out-of-town shows. Where can I find your shows here in town? I'd love to come and see you guys. All right. Bye.
Well, first of all, ladytoladycomedy.com. That has a calendar where we list both our shows that are together and our separate shows if we're traveling or if we're in LA. So go there if you want to see a calendar with all of our dates on it.
Yeah. And follow us on all the various things too. Yeah, that would be great.
I want to know what this person's sign is. This is an Aries, right? This is an Aries.
I'm glad the resident Aries in the podcast said it, because I was going to make an Aries joke and then I was like, I'll let Tess say what she wants.
Wait, what do you think, Deanne? What's your take on the sign?
I mean, my initial thought was, is this a problem? Maybe this is just someone with a sense of, like, a deep sense of justice and righteousness, but it does sound like it is a problem for her. I really love the phrase, I'm dying on a hill. I don't know if she said something like, I'm dying on a hill I don't even care about or something.
Yeah. That's when I knew that she was an Aries. Yeah.
What can she do about this, if anything? I kind of feel like this is not a bad way to be.
I think it depends on, if it's truly fucking up your relationships. And if it also depends on what happens when she gets confrontational. Does she fight dirty? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is she getting super heated? Is she yelling? Like, it kind of depends on how far it goes, I think.
Well, yeah. And I think also, is it coming off as just criticism or is constructive criticism? Like, with your boss or people at work, if you're just like, you should have done it this way. Because then you're like, okay, well, that's going to make you feel like a person that people don't want to, like, include in things in the future because you're hypercritical, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, I think there's like a way to do it. There's like a phrase for it, but if it's like, if you could.
The sandwich?
Give some, sandwich. Yeah. Like give some compliments and then be like, maybe this was better, but you know, you want to kind of couch it in things that were done right, you know, because everybody wants to, you know, hear what they're doing correctly too, you know?
My first instinct is also like, it's fine.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's interesting that we kind of all have that take. Like, I feel like more bullshit needs to get called out in this world. Like, so many egregious things are just seen as normal and status quo, and we need more people being like, fuck that shit, man. So, and I feel like especially, I don't know. Yeah, like if you're being made uncomfortable because there's like an injustice happening in front of you, who fucking cares if it makes other people uncomfortable that you're pointing it out?
Yes.
Yeah. I also can't help but wonder about the gender dynamics of this whole thing.
Right.
Like, she is calling herself confrontational, and I mean, we have to trust her self-reporting, but at the same time, like, if she were a man, would this be coming across the same way?
Yeah.
It's that whole difficult to work with thing, right? Like,
I mean, I'd say that I personally have, like, it's like, I wouldn't call myself confrontational, but I can get really upset. You know, I can get angry, like, and I can get into a fight and I can say, like, hurtful things. So I've had to work on that, you know? And so I think if you're getting to that point, that's something that I would, like, look at and try to be better about. I think for me, like, trying to do the thing where if you can feel yourself getting there, literally just counting to 5 or counting to 10 before you talk can be helpful, you know, just to make sure if you don't want to say something that you know you're going to regret, that can definitely be helpful.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 you fucking asshole.
You really want to ramp up to the you fucking asshole.
Yeah, it's like counting into the music, you know? You just
I mean, I'm literally thinking of this morning when I like pulled into like the coffee place and there's nowhere to park. And this guy was just sitting in his car. He kept looking at me and I was like, I don't know what he wanted. So I rolled down my window and I was like, what do you want me to do? And he was like, I'm waiting for someone and I was going to exit that way. And I was like, okay. It was just like, I don't know. The way he was looking at me really bugged me. But I came in real aggressive, know? Yeah. I get, maybe it's like things like that where you're coming in at a level that other people aren't, you know?
I definitely like related to the, like, I think some people just have a personality where you fight for sport and...
Aries.
I definitely like what you're saying, like, we're like, sometimes I catch myself where it's like, I'm fighting to win, not to resolve the argument. And that is where I start saying like, unreasonably mean things just because I'm like, and then yeah, I'm trying to think, I haven't perfected not doing that, but I'm trying to think. Sometimes I just have to be like, just shut the fuck up. Just don't talk right now. And like, I literally have to like bite down on my lip and like just breathe. And like, sometimes if I can just give myself like 20 seconds.
Yes.
Like you said, like just a little bit.
I think it is like a feeling of like, is the outcome more important than me being right now? And mm-hmm. is what I'm doing serving the outcome? You know, the way that I'm communicating, is that serving what I want to happen? You know, and if it's like, you know, if you taking it down a little bit would actually get the thing resolved in a way that you're like, okay, that's correct. Then I think it is like kind of taking that beat to be like, okay, this isn't about me being right. This is about wanting to get to that place. And this is actually the way I'm communicating is actually standing in the way of that happening.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Can I, since we're bringing astrology into this,
please
let me tell you a secret Leo hack.
Mm.
I mean, I'm confrontational when it matters in terms of like, I'll be uncomfortable to call something out that's like unjust or, you know, mm-hmm. if someone's treated unfairly. But in interpersonal dynamics, I truly do not seem, I can't say I don't have, but I do not seem to have an ego. I'm always happy to let the other person be right. It is, Brandy, it is more about like, what is the outcome? What do we want here? I don't need to be right. But behind it all is the secret belief that I am the better person. Look how generous and giving I am. So you can always hang on to that in the background if you need to.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I like that.
And then that obviously means that you are right.
It means you're right. The important thing is
you're secretly right with yourself, and that's enough.
Yeah. Look, they've just got to go through it to get to the place that you're already at. And that's
I will
just
say
their
to,
journey.
I also feel like, I mean, I don't know if you live in LA, so maybe you already do, but like yoga helps me a lot with reactivity. Like I really, there's something about just like teaching your muscles. Like I can be in this really heated situation and I'm going to stay calm. So if you don't already do yoga, I would recommend practicing yoga.
I think having a physical thing is probably a good idea. Like have like, you know, like, a worry stone in your pocket or something. Or like, I know an anger management technique is like, they'll be like, have a rubber band on your wrist that you can just like snap, or like something that will like put you physically like in your body and make you present, maybe might be helpful.
Yeah. But again, all this is to say,
yeah,
I feel like she's 95% right. I mean, it's okay
100%.
To.
I agree.
I think it's finessing, and like again,
if it's something that's like truly fucking up your relationships, that's a different thing. It doesn't sound it, and like I think that if it is something you want to change, it's just about observing the why, and like Brandy said, like, is it getting you to where you want? And like, just start thinking about those things, and then I think if it's something you do want to change or need. Like eventually, you know, maybe you'll start, but you're fine.
Dare I say, I think her biggest lady problem is not having seen you in LA yet. So
that's true.
I think that's really
that
why
is
she
so
called.
True. We don't have an upcoming show planned, just us, but we should get it on the books. And
and again, go to our website. We all put our shows there, and we would love to meet you IRL. And we're all going to be, there's nothing to confront there because we'll just be cool.
I hope she absolutely explodes for no reason. And you'll be like, oh no, that was a real problem.
Oh, fuck. I didn't realize. Got it. All right. Addendum. We'll do a follow up.
Punch some walls in the venue.
Oops.
Oopsie. Deanne, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. It's been so nice.
My joy and pleasure. Thank you. The rest of my day looks honestly quite bleak after this.
Yeah, we get that a lot. No big deal. Let everyone know where they can find your album, where they can find you online and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, good luck to you. I'm real push-pull with you know, bringing people into my world. Like, grossly outdated. Google Deanne Smith. I'm the most successful one there is out there.
There you go.
The album is on 800 Pound Gorilla and everywhere else. And I would love to plug some real life shows because that's what it's about for me. Yeah. If you're in New York, September 13th, I have a show at Union Hall called Deanarchy. And at the end of the month, I'll be in Toronto for the JFL 42 Festival. And I'll be in Portland and Seattle. That gets us through to October. That's enough for you guys.
Yes. Amazing. Go see Deanne live. They're so hilarious, and we're just so glad to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us.
I really love it, guys. It's great to just plug into an already established friendship dynamic, I'll tell you.
That's what we try to bring.
We're plug and play friendship. Yeah. That should be our tagline.
In the Barbie font, obviously.
Okay, Barbies. We'll see you next week.
Bye, Barbies.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I was just listening to your most recent episode where you were talking about Tessa's Disneyland debacle, and I did, in fact, work at Disneyland for quite a while, and you guys were talking about, like, what happens when the park closes and how long they have to turn everything over in the middle of the night. Well, I worked on Main Street, which is open an hour after the park closes, and then we're there for about an hour after that. And what happens with all the rides is they do a final ride through with the lights on every night. So the closing employees have to go on the ride and pick up any items they see, basically, and then return them to the front of the park. So, yeah, that's probably what happened. Someone saw your phone in that ride through and picked it up and gave it to the lady in the front of the park. So, yeah, Disneyland After Dark is scary. The lights on the carousel never turn off. And I think there are some other lights on Main Street that never turn off also. Love you guys. Bye.
Howdy, ladies and gentlemen, everybody that listens. I guess I only call in also with advice. I don't know if that's selfish of me, but anyway, this last week, which is in August, mid-August, somebody called in with a lady problem about wedding favors, and I've never been married and not really that interested in it, but I've had several friends that have had weddings throughout my 20s. I'm now 32, so been to quite a few, and I'm from Arkansas, and a big thing that people do for wedding favors here in Arkansas that is kind of along the lines that y'all were suggesting and yours too is to have some sort of food or drink-based, like, favor that is personal to you. That's a big deal here. Like, and my friend got married, my bestie Lucy, got married a year or two ago, 2 years ago in October, and she had, like, people making, like, pickled okra and, like, pickled peppers and things that her family had made that she was giving away as favors. Just sometimes I've seen people make homemade wine that they'll say their daddy or their grandpa, somebody makes muscadine wine. That's a big one here. Just, like, you know, stuff that's personal to y'all. If you have anything like that or something that you made or something you can get together and have, you do at your bridal shower maybe or with your aunts or, you know, whatever, that if there's anything that you make as a family or maybe your grandma or somebody you can involve in it that would make them feel good. I'm also a big fan of taking the pressure off you, so let other people help you. Let them do it. It'll make them feel good. People like to help you, I think. And with your family, they love to be able to contribute to that. So it helps everybody. Anyway, I love all those suggestions. I'm with you.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.